without thinking about my paper in particular, right? Can you define, or can you at least give me your perspective on what you think intelligence is as whatever, whether as a biological thing or as an abstract thing or as a philosophical thing? Like, what is your definition? And I want you guys to define it for me. And I think from there we can build, because I'm going to give you my definition too, which I formalized, of course. And I think we can have a better combo from that perspective.
I think the idea existed before you were able to write it down, you were able to draw it. And then once you drew it and you put it in the most fundamental form as a drawing, you're able to now take that and discretize it into the word triangle, or into the word whatever the word triangle is in other languages. Those are just discretized representations of that same drawing. So the drawing must have came first.
But did anything come before the drawing?
The idea.
Nature came first. You're able to look at nature and see the shape first. Sorry, nature. Nature is where you would see it first, in nature. And from nature, you could draw it. You could replicate what you saw in nature.
Boom. So exactly, Todd. So exactly, that's what we're doing, Todd. We're just demystifying complexity, which is demystifying the universe, demystifying nature, or figuring out what gives nature the rules of emergence, evolution, and interaction with other systems within nature. And once we have those things figured out, I think it's going to be pretty simple. And the crazy thing is that the answer, I mean, that's what I think. Hopefully I'm not wrong, but I think the answer is literally as simple as the drawing, the drawing of the three characters, triangle, infinity, circle. That's our solution right there. The same way Einstein had E=mc², and we're able to essentially, you know, a whole new paradigm was able to open up from that one formalization. I think Einstein's equation was actually discrete because it involved mathematics, and math is incomplete. So when we have a geometric formalization, the possibilities become endless, because we can use that one geometric abstraction to derive infinite other models that are not just mathematical models. And I think this is where the whole idea of different dimensions come in. So we're gonna get a more complete perspective of who we are. Like I think Todd said earlier, about who he is, who we are, where we're going, how did humans get on this planet? What the hell are we here for? I don't think we're gonna get that if our model is mathematical. We have to get a model that allows us to travel beyond physical reality, and I think it's a geometric model because it anchors us to the origin. It anchors us to emergence, the point of emergence. I think. You know, that's what I think, guys. That was a rant a little bit, but hopefully you understood. It's really that simple. And I think people were expecting some sort of long mathematical equation that was like confusing. And it's actually really simple, but the thing I realized was that I think it's supposed to be simple because nature is simple and beautiful, right? So you would expect the formalization of what makes nature to move to be simple too. It wouldn't be complex. It wouldn't make any sense.
But what I did with my paper is I actually defined this abstraction. I showed what it is, what it looks like at the most fundamental level, right? There've been a lot of speculations about what it was in academia. Like, okay, intelligence must be an abstraction. It must be something that can abstract and solve any problem, right? Would you agree with that?
I agree, yeah.
Okay, so if that's the case, then the question becomes, what is that? Is it a math equation, or is it a symbolic model that we can derive math equations from, and also derive other possible systems that also are useful but might not just be fundamental? You know, for example, you can look at physics and chemistry and biology as just different perspectives of the same thing.
I think the idea existed before you were able to write it down, you were able to draw it. And then once you drew it and you put it in the most fundamental form,
yeah, that's why I really use the word consciousness, because I don't know what it means, but that's why I defined intelligence, not consciousness. I think the word consciousness is tied to the idea of a human being, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine, because you know, I think that's why sometimes we confuse that aspect of it and think that's what intelligence is. But I think intelligence is more fundamental than that. But consciousness, we can then play with that idea and at a human level. We can say that that's derived, or it emerges from intelligence. So it's a derivative of intelligence. We can model that. Yeah.
So you think machines will be conscious once they become intelligent enough?
I think intelligence is the algorithm that governs the emergence of conscious systems, right? So if we're to play with the idea of consciousness, right? Unconscious and conscious systems are still emergent from intelligence at the fundamental level, right? So now the question becomes, what is the difference between a conscious entity and an unconscious one? But this is acknowledging the fact that they're both derived or emerge from something fundamental, something algorithmic, like intelligence, for example. Then now, what differentiates that physical human brain, or the human brain, human experience, from that of, for example, a tree, which we can also consider to be a living thing, but some would consider it not to be conscious, right? So. And I think you mentioned it when you said the intelligence within the seed, but also the intelligence that is post-emergent, you know, decision-making, for example, task specificity, efficiency, for example. And I think the issue that we've had is we've mixed up these two definitions. I think one precedes the other, and I think to reconcile them, we reorganize and reorient to realize that, I mean, this isn't really even a realization, this is common sense, that the seed precedes the actual physical tree. So the seed must hold more information than the actual physical tree. Which means that discrete systems are fundamentally more incomplete than emergent, than the most fundamental discrete system, which would be a drawing. So that is actually more efficient if that's a machine. Remember earlier I said that we can design a machine, a two-dimensional machine, with just drawing, right? So that's a machine. And the question is that machine more efficient than a physical machine, for example? If I draw a car, and I know this is going to be very abstract, but if I draw a car on a piece of paper, is that more efficient than a physical car? Or less efficient? That's a weird question, but it's a legitimate question, right? Because imagine the drone is an actual machine. Remember, like Tim said, even two-dimensional objects have mass. If you're gonna go into Einstein's physics to look at it from that perspective, you know. So a fundamental abstraction holds the highest density of information, which means that, you know, if we're to define intelligence, we're going to have to go beyond discretized mathematics. And this is where I lose a lot of academics. They get really nervous. What do you mean by we're going to have to transcend math? Math is the fabric of the universe. And I'm like, yeah, of our universe. But, you know, what if in the other dimensions, they don't use mathematics like we do? They have a different formalization. You know, I think that's where the implications are, guys. So that's why it excites me to actually be studying this stuff, because, you know, I don't know what the future holds. So it's exciting to actually be, you know,
at the forefront of this kind of thing, you know. So I'll put it like this. Truth precedes proof, which is why when people come with mathematical formulations, like, yeah, you might be correct, but I know that at the fundamental level, math is incomplete. So we're never going to be able to model intelligence if we use discrete mathematics. It's not possible. So, and that's the realization that I had, and that's why the epiphany was that, huh? It's an abstraction. The only way to generalize is through abstraction, right? How else would we generalize? It doesn't make any sense, right? So, that's what I thought, guys. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I thought it was common sense. But it seems like it's not. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, nice to see you, dude.
How you doing, Jacob? Welcome to stage.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'm right. I'm thinking about the word abstraction and generalize. It's like, I feel like we have to generalize because it's like any situation now is unknown. And the only way we know it is through association of previous knowledge. And then we create the reality that we see with our past categorizations, which is fine to an extent.
Jacob, are you making a case for mysticism?
No. I don't want to use any three-syllable word. Abstraction, generalization. And then
some Caesar set.
And then you're like, am I crazy? Is it just common sense? It's like maybe. But I think, I don't know. It's like it's the good type of crazy, where it's like when people are obviously not thinking about it and they're doing something, like it's like a square wheel, and we're like, hey guys, it's like, even though square wheels are okay, it's like we still should think about circles and try to remember that there are other shapes, type of thing. So I think it's what the world needs right now, what we need to be talking about. I'm just thinking about the abstraction function and the use case of generalization. It's like, when do we use abstraction? How do we use it? How do we express it? And at what times? And let us identify the differences in between procedures, and I think we'll have a better understanding of the pattern of that function.